this week on the College Football Roundup. The coaching carousel spins up. Texas struggles once again. Georgia wins a thriller and so much more. This is the Monday Report starting now. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monday Report. It is Monday, September 15th, 2025. I'm your host, H. James K., and today we're going to continue our college football roundup, this time for week three. Today we're going to be talking about head coaches that got fired, the winners that just keep on winning, the teams that are shockingly struggling. We will talk about Michigan versus Central Michigan, and then we will wrap it up with a looking ahead to the games next week. All right, let's get it started. So, on Sunday, in the middle of the afternoon, Virginia Tech and UCLA both fired their coaches. To start off, Brent Pry, the head coach of Virginia Tech, was let go after an 0-3 start. And I can't say I'm surprised about this one because Virginia Tech, much like UCLA, is one of these teams that used to be somebody. And now they haven't adapted with the college football landscape, and now they're down at the bottom of the ladder. Virginia Tech likes to believe that they're contemporaries with Clemson, North Carolina, and Florida State, because under Frank Beamer, they were. But Beamer ball was 20 years ago. Those days have come and gone. And the athletic department doesn't have a lot of support. They don't have a lot of money. They don't really do NIL well. They don't have a lot of support. And Brent Pry, who was a fine G5 coach, just didn't work out. I think he was G5. Either way, for Virginia Tech, finding someone who's going to be able to do a lot in that job is going to be difficult, just because you got some titans around you. And, you know, Shane Beamer ain't coming from South Carolina. He's got a good thing going in South Carolina. So he ain't coming to avenge his father's school. That ain't happening. Even though he's an alum, it ain't happening. But, you know, maybe someone like Tony White, who's the current defensive coordinator at Florida State, or, you know, Jason Eck, or something like that, or the offensive coordinator at Oregon. Maybe someone like that would be interested in the job, but who knows? Now, on top of that, UCLA fired head coach Deshaun Foster. Now, Chip Kelly was the mildly successful head coach at UCLA, and right as it was announced that UCLA was joining the Big Ten, Chip Kelly said, "Fuck that shit, I'm out," and he just walked away from that head coach job, became the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, and now he's in the NFL. And so UCLA hired alum, former player Deshaun Foster to be the new head coach. And they got Deshaun Foster on the cheap. That was a big part of it. They wanted a head coach on the cheap, and his buyout was not large. Not at all. So now he's been gone because they went 5-7 last year, but there was talk that maybe they should have done better. And this year they went all in on the whole Nico Iamaleava thing. Meanwhile, Joey Aguilar, who was their quarterback last year, is balling at Tennessee. And Nico Iamaleava is exactly the same quarterback that he was at Tennessee, which means he's mediocre. He's mid. He's not good. So now they're 0-3 and he's fired. And everything I said about Virginia Tech, more so at UCLA. They have even more apathy from the administration. They got to pay what's called calimony, so to speak. That's the colloquial term. They got to pay money to Cal Berkeley for leaving them behind in the whole Pac-12 dissolution thing, even though Cal ended up at the ACC. But either way, so you know they just don't have a lot of financial support for their football team. So I don't even know if a guy like Tony White would want to, because you're not only are you taking over the poorest team in the Big Ten, you're joining the Big Ten. It isn't like you're going to get to like, oh, I get to play South Florida and Boise State or UTEP every week. No, you have to play Michigan, USC, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, Washington, Nebraska, Wisconsin every week. It's brutal. Like this year with UCLA losing to New Mexico, do they win a game this year? This was the easiest game because it's murderer's row from here on out. So one coach I saw tossed around on three. One of the guys from On Three said this was Pat Fitzgerald. I don't think they would go for Pat Fitzgerald to be their new coach, even though that would be an inspired hiring, because I think if anyone could do more with less, it's him. But I don't think that's how it's going to go. So maybe Jason Eck or the guy from South Florida whose name, Alex Galesh, maybe he's your guy. Or you get some other G5 guy, or who knows. But it's UCLA's even tougher than Virginia Tech was. All right, moving on. So Ohio State defeated Ohio 37-9 on Saturday. Julian Sain threw for 347 yards and three touchdowns, but he did throw for two picks. One was a tip drill, which wasn't his fault, but the other one was a horrible decision. Oh, he's down there somewhere. The pass rush has come in, yeet, kind of throw. Just really bad. Ohio State had almost 600 yards of offense, but they only managed 37 points. Now, a lot of that was down to red zone issues. They got into the red zone several times, and they went away with turnovers or field goals several times. Now, I don't know if that's something like the, ooh, that's a real issue, or if that's just like, you know, whatever, we had an off day. I mean, the last time their offensive coordinator, whose name escapes me, Brian Hartline, the last time he was helping with the offensive coordinator job, they had red zone issues back then too, which was, 2022. They had a little bit, they had red zone issues against good teams, but not bad teams. Now, back then, fans complained about the lack of rhythm in his play calling and how sometimes it could be kind of disjointed. So, I don't know if this is just that kind of resurfacing again, or if it's just, you know, shrug, whatever, they had an off day, move on. You know, because like back in 2023, J.J. McCarthy McCarthy threw three picks against Bowling Green. And everyone was like, oh my God, is this a sign to come? No, he had an off day. It happens. So we're kind of in wait-and-see mode with that. If they have red zone issues against better defenses, then that's an issue. That's like, oh, maybe that's their one thing. If you can just keep them out of the red zone, then you're good. You know, then you're Gucci. So that's something to keep track of. Now, Georgia. Of all the teams that just keep on winning, Georgia. Georgia on my mind. Man, they didn't deserve to win that game. Tennessee deserved to win that game. And if it wasn't for their stupid kicker missing that chip shot field goal, oh, they would have lost. But they didn't. Because though that team, Kirby's teams make fewer mistakes than their opponents, which is why they win, even when they shouldn't. They defeated their bitter rival, because I realized I didn't mention it. Tennessee, they beat Tennessee, their bitter rival, 44-41 in overtime. Yeah, in double overtime. Sorry. I think it was double overtime. Might have been single overtime. Either way, it was mind-blowing. It was like, gosh, they didn't deserve to win it. And to that end, I'm still not super sold on Gunnar Stockton. Gunnar Stockton, they could throw the ball a little better against Tennessee, but I'm not super certain if that's like, yeah, the passing offense is fine, they were just being super vanilla. Or if it's like, they had a good day, but issues persist. So, once again, we're in wait-and-see mode on that. As with a lot of these teams, it's early in the year, so it's, you know, whatever. Now, Oregon. Oregon defeated Northwestern in a rainy affair, 34-13. Dante Moore was efficient, but unspectacular. He went like 16 of 20 for like 178 yards and one or two touchdowns. No picks, I think. Oh, and they had like 140 yards rushing. It was one of those games where it was like, yeah, it was one of the wins of all times. Like a meme I saw online was someone said, yeah, this game could have been an email. It's like, this could have been a memo. Did we really have to come here and do this when this could have just been like, yeah, you win, duh, obviously, move on. It was one of the games of all time. But on a more positive note, the Ducks' defense forced 3 turnovers, 2 interceptions, and a fumble. That defense is disgusting. That's a real good defense. They're physical. They're well disciplined. They don't make a lot of mistakes. Excuse me. I had to take a drink of water. It is safe to say that Dan Lanning has all of his ducks in a row. And yes, I'm very proud of that pun. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Moving on to the last of our winners. Keep on winning. Penn State. They defeated Villanova 52-6 in what is arguably one of the worst bad beats I've ever seen. I think the over under, like the spread was like 48 points or something like that. And they were up 52-0, and then very, 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 very late, Villanova scored 6 points and Penn State didn't cover the spread. So, bad beat. Sorry all you gamblers out there. Drew Aller made some impressive throws against Villanova. Undeniable. The dude has a cannon arm. But he only completed 55% of his throws. And I know what you're going to say. Who cares? They won 52-6. It matters. If you can't be efficient against Villanova, what are you going to do when you play Oregon? Hello? I mean, you're going to lose to them? You're going to lose to Ohio State for like the 67th year in a row? So, I'm concerned about that. Because, to put it kindly, Penn State ain't played nobody. They've been playing tissue paper and strong feelings 3 games in a row. And yeah, they're 3-0. And yeah, they've got like a shutout and 2 absolute shellackings. They've given up like 17 points in 3 games. Granted. They haven't played anyone with a pulse. Who cares? I mean, Michigan could play Houston Christian, Grambling, and freaking Mercer back to back to back and beat them a combined 177-3. Doesn't mean anything. It's empty calories. It's like eating cotton candy. Yeah, it tastes good, makes you feel good, but no nutrition. It's just sugar in and out. So I want to see Penn State play someone with a pulse. Anyone. Even if it's a team that isn't like a super huge threat. Someone who's competent, who's physical, who can challenge them at least a little bit. Because right now they ain't played anybody. And part of me still thinks it's a mirage. That it's just, it isn't what the press wants people to think it is. You know, just like I'm not removing Notre Dame from my top 25. Yeah, I said it. They're 0-2. Doesn't matter. They've lost 2 squeakers to 2 good teams. I'm not punishing them. They're clearly one of the best teams in the country. But yeah, they've lost to Miami and Texas A&M. Okay. Yeah, that could happen. And if they were in the middle of the season and they had 4 other wins, then no one would care. No one would drop them out of the top 25. But because it's 0-2, you're dropping them out? No. Notre Dame ain't going anywhere. So, yeah, that's just small aside about my top 25. I'm not talking about that. Moving on to some teams that are just struggling. Colorado. They lost to Houston 36-20. They do not have a definitive solution at quarterback. And that's among a myriad of issues. Ryan Staub is okay, but he's not explosive. And, oh God, what's his name? Like, the one from South Alabama. Keaton Salter. He's just, eh. And then they've got true freshman Juju Lewis, who knows what the hell he is. None of them are, like, taking the bull by the horns, which is a serious freaking problem. Because they play in the Big 12. And that's not even the fullest extent of Colorado's problem. They are not physical at the line of scrimmage. Either side. Teams run all over them. Up and down the field. They couldn't stop a cold. Their armor's like, yeah, here you go. Let me get out of your way. That's their defense. They just, defense, so bad. And the line of scrimmage, they can't run the ball either. You know how you help a struggling QB?
Run the ball.
Run the ball. I'll say it for the people in the back. Run the football. Run the ball. But the Colorado doesn't believe in that. They believe in throwing the ball 57,000 times a game. And you know what? That's cool when you've got Shedeur Sanders and you've got all those great wide receivers. But they don't. Those guys ain't coming back. You don't got Shedeur and Travis Hunter. This is gone. You got to be able to play real football. You got to be able to run the ball and control the line of scrimmage and be able to actually control the game, play complimentary football. And they just don't. It's just go back there and throw. But coach, no one's catching anything. Throw the ball. But coach, the pass rush, I can't. Throw the ball. Throw the ball. Throw the ball. I like Deion. I want to see Deion succeed. But this, we're just going to throw the ball and do nothing else. Crap. That ain't how you win championships. Don't sell these kids on championships if you don't seriously intend to win championships. Because just beyond the rush defense, the rest of Colorado's defense is a serious issue. Their pass defense is just like, what? It's the blind leading the blind out there. There's gaps in coverage, blown assignments, miscommunications, DBs passing off a receiver to another DB who's not paying attention, so you give up a 37-yard catch. All the time. All the time. It's the kind of stuff that Rich Rod's defenses at Michigan used to do. Bad, bad. You can't win that way. You're going to get abused, and Colorado is now 1-2. They're getting abused, so they got to shape up and fly right. Meanwhile, Kansas State, boy, man, losing that game in Ireland, talk about a curse. Last year, it was Florida State. This year, it's Kansas State, and they're like 1-3, and it's looking bad. They lost to Arizona, and Arizona ain't good. They lost to Arizona 23-17 on Saturday. I got a write-up here, a Word document, with all the things I want to talk about in this episode. And the next thing for Kansas State is just the word defense 3 times. In all caps. Defense, defense, defense. Oh my God, the Kansas State defense is so bad. It is an abomination. They don't stop anybody. Freaking North Dakota's running the ball all over them, passing for 1,000 bazillion yards. They're giving up like 230 in certain games on the ground. 200 yards! If Michigan gets 200 yards on the ground, they're going to beat you 45-0. What are you doing? What is Kansas State doing? And this is a Kansas State team that won 9 games. And it makes me look like a freaking wizard, because I shit you not, when I did my original Big 12 predictions, originally I had Kansas State going 4-8. And then I learned that, they went 9-4 last year. Well, I should reconfigure some predictions to give them up to like 6 wins. That was stupid. This team ain't winning 6 times. How? Is Avery Johnson going to do it all himself, even though he can't do it hardly at all? You going to stop anyone? You going to play good third down defense? No. This team should be 0-4, but they're not because of a 38-35 win over North Dakota. That's an FCS team. North Dakota, 38-35. And that 38-35 broke late. It wasn't like, North Dakota came charging back. No, in garbage. No. That game was in doubt the whole way. This Kansas State team, they're in trouble. Serious trouble. Chris Klieman is supposedly a good coach, but that team is cursed. It's one of those where it's like, all right, guys, if you agreed to do the Aer Lingus kickoff game in Ireland, say no, because if you lose that game, your season's done. And you know what? If you do go to that game, you tell your players, those of you who lose, if we lose, none of y'all get to fly back to the United States. You got to stay here in Ireland. Taking your passports and burning them. Sense of urgency. You got to win that game because that game is cursed. The team that loses that game, you're done. Poof. Goodbye to your season because, boy, the two teams that have done that in the last year and this year, they were booty. booty cheeks so bad. Oh my God. It's just watching Kansas State is in the front of the eyes. You must be a sicko if you watch that team all the time. Good Lord. Just bad. And UCLA, another one. You lost to New Mexico 35-10. And yeah, it makes me as a Michigan fan feel pretty juiced. Like, oh wow, maybe New Mexico's not that bad. Maybe them playing us tough is a sign. But then I remember, no, it's UCLA. They're just that freaking bad. UCLA, I know you're the bitter rival of USC, and that was a package deal. You should be kicked out of the Big Ten. Go live in the Pac-12 with the rest of the teams that don't want to play major college football. Because clearly, even freaking Purdue has stepped up their game to get better. They hired Barry Odom. They're working on getting their NIL going. What's your excuse? What's your excuse for playing like a fried turd? UCLA, hello. And yeah, you just fired Deshaun Foster. But you had Joey Aguilar. Good quarterback, chased him out of town to sign Nico Iamaliava. Oh my God. You don't deserve to be in a team in the Big Ten. It's embarrassing that UCLA is in the Big Ten because they're just unworthy. They're flailing. They don't do anything well. They have no roster cohesion. They don't run the ball well. They don't throw the ball well. They don't play defense. They don't defend the run well. They're bad on special teams. They're bad. Bad. And yet, here they are, locked in the Big Ten until the end of time, until hell freezes over. It's just 35-10. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. What? How? How does that even happen? To New Mexico? The Lobos? Seriously? Michigan beat them handily 2 weeks ago. It wasn't even a contest for a lot of the game. And you got manhandled. You got worked. It wasn't like it was 10-10 entering the fourth quarter and New Mexico got hot and scored 25 or whatever. No. They were in control of the game from the word jump. It was like the ref flipped the coin up in the air for the coin toss and New Mexico caught it, ran away with it. That was the whole game. How can you be that unprepared? It's New Mexico. They were like 131st out of 134 teams last year. And yes, Jason Eck is a good coach, and he's brought a whole bunch of good players, and they're better this year. But that's still unacceptable. You can't. You're a Big Ten team. You should be manhandling these dudes. And yeah, I get it. Lane, their quarterback, he's a tough dude. But you're a Big Ten team. It's disgusting. Should be kicked out of the conference. All right, Clemson. They lost to Georgia Tech 24-21. Georgia Tech fans rushed the field, tore down the goalposts, carried one of them across campus, and dumped it into the swimming pool of the president of the university. And yeah, they'll get fined about $50,000 for rushing the field, but for them, worth it. Dabo. It's time, dude. Dabo's time is over. Because there is no reason Clemson should be this bad. I mean, I get it. Georgia Tech is a better team, but you struggled against freaking Temple or whatever last week. I think it was Temple or Troy. No, it was Troy, which is even worse. You struggled with Troy, and you got manhandled by LSU. I don't care how low scoring that game was. You got freaking worked by Brian Kelly. It's Brian Kelly. You're supposed to win the season opener against him. Dabo, it's time to walk away. Because clearly, your version of football ain't going to work in the revenue-sharing NIL world. Clearly. Because you out-recruit half of college football, and you still can't put together a competent offense. And don't be blaming Garrett Riley. No. I'm seeing a lot of Clemson fans out there blaming Garrett Riley. Don't blame him. His offense was great at TCU. What's your excuse? Cade Klubnik was a highly regarded QB. Supposed to be a Heisman contender. Dude's playing like crap. What do you mean? It ain't Garrett. Don't blame Garrett Riley. Blame Dabo Sweeney. That's why you're struggling. Like, Clemson, They're not explosive at all. Everything Clemson does is a struggle. It's almost like watching Michigan last year. Not that bad because they can throw the ball, but a better example would be like 2018 Michigan with Shea Patterson that first year. Everything was a struggle on offense. It was scratching and clawing for first downs. And yeah, if you can out-physical a team, you can win 7, 8, 9 games like that, but you won't win a championship. What's going to happen when they play Florida State? Oh yeah, they're going to get blown out. Or when they play Oklahoma or Texas or Bama or Georgia or Ohio State or Penn State or Oregon. Oh yeah, they're going to get freaking railroaded. They're going to get run over. Dabo, 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 retire. It's time to retire. Do it before the bottom completely falls out and you doom Clemson to like 20 more years in the wilderness. Because Clemson wasn't a blue blood, isn't a blue blood. And yes, he's the only coach who's really had a lot of main continued success with them. But everybody's time comes and goes. Like Bo Schembechler probably should have retired earlier. And Lloyd Carr, definitely. He should have retired after 2006. Shouldn't have stayed around for 2007. Because the bottom fell out. Appalachian State. Oregon. Yeah. Walk away with your head held high. Don't wait until you go 3-9 and they freaking fire you. Don't do it. Just retire. Save your dignity. Save the fans the heartache. Go out on top. Win 9 games. Go to a bowl game and say, you know what? I'm hanging it up. Yeah, do that. Do that for a change. Arch Manning in Texas. Oh my God. UTEP, really? You struggled to put away University of Texas El Paso? Texas beat UTEP 27-10. Arch Manning had an exchange where he threw like 7 or 8 incompletions in a row. They were, actually, it might have been 11. He was like 5 of 20 at one point. It was just, oh, and that's with at least 1, maybe 2 interceptions. Fans were booing. It was just, Arch Manning is not ready for prime time. He's just not an SEC starting quality QB yet. He's going to be there for 3 more years, I think. I think it's 3 more. And you know what? That's good for down then, but he shouldn't be starting for them this year. They should have gone into the portal and brought in John Mateer for another year. Or go and get Carson back out of the portal. Or Joey Aguilar. Because Arch Manning isn't a starter. His footwork is all over the place. If his first read ain't there, panic time. He struggles to see the field. He struggles to make good decisions, to make timely decisions, to manage the offense. And yes, I get it. He's young, and that's a thing to consider, but you're Texas. You're trying to win a national championship. So Texas needs to decide what they want to be. Do you want to be a team that throws the ball a lot, or do you want to be a team that wins a championship? Because you can't be both. Not with Arch Manning, right? Not right now. Maybe next year you can be a team that throws the ball everywhere and throws for 45 touchdowns and wins a championship. But not with Arch Manning in 2025. Maybe in 2026, but not now. You need to run the ball. You need to run the ball and chew clock and control the game and deflate the football. Take the air out of the football and shorten the game and protect your QB because he's a freaking liability. This was UTEP. What's going to happen when you play Georgia or Bama or Oklahoma, especially Oklahoma? Michigan isn't mediocre. Oklahoma manhandled them. What do you think that D-line is going to do to Arch Manning? He's going to be seeing them in his nightmares until he's 50 years old. Run the ball. Play good defense. Protect your QB so he only has to make the plays that are necessary, where he isn't required to make the plays that are extraordinary. Because if you make him do that, you're going to lose. You're going to lose 2, 3, 4 games that way. Because when you get into the meat of your schedule, Texas, it ain't going to be pretty. No. Those fans, you think they're booing is bad now? Oh, just wait until you're getting to the dog days of the summer. Dog days of the season. And it's like, yeah, man, they need to get this game if they want to get to 8 wins. And then they lose to, like, Ole Miss or whatever. Yeah. Buckle up. Run the ball more. Because when you run the ball and control the game, he's better. When you don't ask him to do everything, he's better. Just like every other young QB. I like Sark. Steve Sarkisian's a good coach, but I just don't think that's in his DNA to be like, we're going to be that physical, pounded-out team like Georgia. I just don't think it's in them. They're just not in their DNA. So, I predicted Texas to be the SEC champion, go 11-1. I think I might be moving off that prediction because Arch Manning, just not ready for primetime. The last team I want to talk about in this struggling segment, Florida. You lost LSU 20-10. DJ Lagway threw 5 interceptions, one of which was returned for a touchdown. And you know what? Yeah, your defense played pretty good, but is that your defense is good or that LSU's offense is eh? I think it's probably more that LSU's offense is eh. Because Garrett Nussmeier didn't look great. He hasn't looked great all season, but they still managed a way to make Florida look pedestrian. 20-10. 5 interceptions. Billy Napier is finished. He's going to get fired this year. If it's not in the middle of the season, it'll be by the end. It's going to happen. And you know how I know? After the first quarter, the sideline reporter went up to him and asked him a question. Asked him, you know, what's your reaction to all of the penalties? Because Florida had a series of debilitating, I think it was the first half, first quarter. It might have been after the first half, coming into the second half. And Florida had a series of debilitating offensive penalties that took like 2 touchdowns off the board. And instead of doing what Saban or Harbaugh or Sark would have done and said, yeah, we need to clean up the penalties. This is just unacceptable. We're better than this. We just need to be more disciplined and stop making all these stupid mistakes and letting LSU hang around. Instead of saying that, he said, well, that's part of the game. They're fighting hard and giving a good effort. And you just got to take the good with the bad. What? Part of the game? Debilitating penalties that cost your team multiple double-digit points is just part of the game? Billy, you're finished, bro. You're finished. It's done. You're going to get fired because clearly you're not up to the job of being a major college football coach. I know I couldn't do that. But I'm not asked to do that. I'm not being paid 20 bazillion, jillion, million dollars to do it. But he is. He's finished. It's Florida ain't, it ain't happening. It's been 4 years. I thought it had been like 2 or 3 the other day. No, it's been 4. Year 4, and you're like this, no. You're done. Bye-bye. Go away. You're done. There's no excuse for being in year 4, and you're still like, oh, we got to work on the debilitating penalties and the mental aspect of the game. No, you should be beyond that. You recruit too well. You have too much money to be mediocre. And yet here we are. Same old story, different day. And here, another sign that he's done. Players apparently skipped the singing of Alma Mater after the game. I guess that's some song that they like sing or that is performed by the marching band after all of their games. And it's a tradition that they like stay on the field while it's being played. Multiple players were seen just going into the locker room during the performance of Alma Mater. That's bad. If your team has like a tradition of like staying on the field for this thing, even win, lose, or draw, and they're all leaving, yeah, they're quitting. Bye-bye. Expect to see them in the portal. Because they ain't sticking around. They've quit on you, coach. They're quitting on the team. You gotta play good teams from here on. You have one of the hardest schedules, if not the hardest schedule in the country. Yeah. Do you get to a bowl game? Because I'm not so freaking sure. Because DJ Lagway, apparently he's pretty freaking overrated. Yeah. It's disgusting. Too much money, too much resources. Florida should be better. College football is better when Florida is better. This makes me sick. There's no excuse for, oh, it's part of the game. Unbelievable. All right, moving on. Michigan played Central Michigan. Beat them 63-3. Holy moly, they opened up a can on those Chippewas. Goodness gracious. Bryce Underwood unleashed. First thought that comes to my mind. He went like 16 of 23, I think it was, for like 235 yards and one touchdown, as well as 114 yards on the ground and two rushing touchdowns. And that's on top of, and that's just a part of the 378 rushing yards they had. Damn, I think it was 378. Good Lord. They had like eight rushing touchdowns. Bryce Underwood was throwing that ball all over the yard. It was just B-52s dropping bombs everywhere. But we got to pump the brakes. It's just Central Michigan. They're one of the worst teams in the country. Pump the brakes. Take a deep breath. I'm so hyped. Fuck being calm. It was great. Running the ball is back on the menu. Bryce Underwood. Man, that kid can throw. There was a ball in the first quarter where he scrambled out of the pocket. It was a play action to Justice Haynes. And then he scrambled left out of the pocket and threw back, like, in the opposite direction, like, you know, back across his body, over a linebacker, under a safety to Donovan McCauley at, like, 10, 15 yards down the field. That ball, it was nasty. That was a filthy throw. It was incredibly impressive. That was like J.J. McCarthy stuff. He would do that all the on the regular. It was good. What this shows me is that if teams need to be very wary of the passing game, because if you give Michigan a gap, he'll throw the ball and he'll complete it. Because if you allow Michigan, if you say we're going to keep our entire defense 10 yards from the line of scrimmage and dare you to run, and he's going to go, all right, bet. Hey, Samaj, I need you to run a freaking a post route. Hey, Donovan McCauley, I need you to run a dagger route right down the middle. Cool. Here's a 47-yard touchdown pass. Watch out, people. Because, and this is the other thing. The kid can run. There was a scramble he did in the third quarter where he, like, it was like a quarterback. It was a play-action pass, kind of like a rollout to the right. And the defense got there. Credited the chips. They were there. It was covered. Pass rush was coming. So he just stopped, turned left, and ran all the way to the other side of the field for a touchdown. 15 yards. He ran further laterally than he did horizontally. He ran further horizontally than he did laterally. He ran like 40 yards across the field and then went 15 yards upfield. It was impressive as hell. Impressive as hell. So Bryce Underwood, when if you're going to allow him to succeed and just dare Michigan not to run the ball, to run the ball and, you know, dare him to throw, he's going to burn you. Kid's got talent. He's got stones. So, another solid defensive performance. I will say, it was only Central. They don't have a passing game. They really can't run. But they control the line of scrimmage. The pass rush was really, really good. On the other hand, though, I will say, once again, mobile quarterbacks for the third week in a row found some limited success. It's nothing super huge. Excuse me, I had to drink some water. It wasn't super huge. It wasn't like with John Mateer where he's like gashing them for massive yards, but that's the third mobile quarterback. We're going to face a couple of more of them, like the guy at Washington. That's yeah. So Michigan's got to tighten that up. Biff Poggi. I wrote a note to talk about Biff Poggi. Dude is a national treasure. Yeah, I think that kid might be Batman. We need to have his DNA tested because, man, just the things Biff Poggi said in the post-game interview were just all-time. Like, I guarantee you, Bryce Underwood's going to be known as Batman from now on. He's Batman. Oh, my God. It was amazing. That was absolutely hilarious. O-line, though. Here's the thing. Yes, Michigan ran for all the yards. Yes, Michigan threw for, like, 235 passing yards. Central Michigan wasn't doing anything exotic on their D-line. They were just four men running straight at the O-line. No stunts, no twists, no games, nothing too crazy. They weren't really challenging the O-line from a schematic perspective, and that's a problem. So, I still have worries, and I'll talk about that a little later in a sec, but some concerns. All right, the last thing we're going to talk about next week, Oklahoma takes on Auburn. Can John Mateer and the Sooners keep the good times rolling? That's a ranked matchup. I have a feeling that might be game day, probably. And it's going to be one of those games where we're going to know some things about Auburn and Oklahoma, because that's going to be a solid matchup. But I'm kind of excited because Michigan's on the road, so I'll probably be able to get to watch that game. So, woo! That's going to be cool. Florida versus Miami. Florida loses. Does Billy Napier survive a third loss in a row? I mean, can Florida survive? Can Billy Napier survive losing to Miami? Especially if Mario Cristobal, like, decides to run the score up and show off. Because, man, they're in trouble. Because they got to play Miami. All right, South Carolina versus Missouri. Mizzou is looking to get to 4-0 versus the Gamecocks, who are reeling after a 31-7 shellacking by the Vanderbilt Commodores. Oh my God, I can't wait to watch SEC shorts this week. Pimp Vanderbilt is going to make a return. It's going to be great. They're going to have the swag. Yeah. So, the good times keep on rolling in Vandy, and South Carolina is going to look to make a bounce back against the surging 3-0 Missouri Tigers. And lastly, Michigan is taking on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. This game is going to show me a lot because, yes, Oklahoma beat Michigan, but Michigan isn't on the national title contender level. They're not in the tier with Oregon, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Penn State. They can punch above their weight and beat the Buckeyes like they always do. But I just don't think you can really measure Michigan against that kind of a team. So, if you're talking about it like Big Ten, Dark Horse, spoiler, 9-10 win kind of thing, how Michigan does against Nebraska will tell us a lot. Are they like that, or are they going to be 7-8 wins, go to the Rely Quest, and beat Alabama again? Who knows? Either way, Bryce Underwood versus Dylan Raiola. Biff Poggi versus Matt Rhule. It's going to be a good physical Big Ten football game. I can't wait. All right. For those of you listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and everywhere else that podcasts are available, thank you, thank you, and thank you. Tell your friends and family about the podcast to spread the word. For those of you listening on YouTube, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell icon to help feed the algorithm. Anything you can do to spread the word helps, because I'm still waiting on that 10th subscriber. Hope springs eternal. All right. My name is H. James K. Thank you all for tuning in. Until next time.